a talk with God. Now, you're not going to like this. But this took place, this was written 23 years ago. And I am going to share it with you so that you can compare it to today. See how much, has anything changed? It's called A Talk with God. Hello, God. First, let me say that we appreciate all you have done for us since life began. You gave us guidance and help during our growing up period. You taught us about love and family and so many other good things. You really tried. But sometimes effort doesn't count. Times changed. And now is the time for us to make a break from you. God, we don't want to hurt your feelings. But we don't need you anymore. You really made a mess of things when you created us. However, we now have the knowledge and resources to clean up that mess. Remember the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you told Adam and Eve about in the beginning? He told them not to eat that fruit, but they did. And so are we. In fact, we're not only eating it, we're having a feast. And it tastes great. We are in the process of developing scientific knowledge to make humans live hundreds of years. Scientists are close to extending human life to 200 or 300 years. Who knows? In the future, we might live as long as Methuselah. And we can now create life, God. Using cloning, we're going to produce a perfect man. No disease, no deformities, perfect, God. We can even mix humans and animals to get the best of both. We can create the super race and then create a slave race to do our work. All we're doing is what you should have done many centuries ago. So we're going to finish the job you started and do it right this time. We'll produce nonviolent beings that think like we think and do what we say. They will be whatever we want them to be. Family, we've redefined it. No more one man, one woman stuff. We're free of the old moral constraints. Now, family may be two men or two women, or three men and one woman, or three women. Any combination will be okay. No more nasty divorce. No more of this foolish commitment for a lifetime. You just don't get it, God. You never did. And God, we've created very effective means of changing the thinking of humans. We have media mills on the East Coast and the West Coast. And they do a great job. We have our people in Hollywood and in the news media. We can now build a perfect world. Morals? We will determine those from now on. Your old set didn't work. They were too confining, too restrictive. Did you ever notice that the rules you gave Moses were also negative? We're now much more enlightened than you. We understand what morals are best. That's another issue we can best determine for ourselves. In fact, we have already eliminated your wrong-headed rules about sex. God, you made such a big deal about that, but sex is nothing more than another activity. So we have removed the limits you placed on it. To be honest, God, you made a mess of things when you were created. Now we have to clean up your mess. What's that, God? Oh, we weren't worried about the institutional church. They're more concerned about the institution than the church. They spend their time keeping themselves going and don't have time to hinder us. It's no threat. In fact, we even use the institutional church for our purposes. How's that? A remnant of those faithful to you? Yes, God. That's about all you have left in the church. To put it bluntly, God, we really don't need you anymore. Sincerely, Modern Man. I ran across that and I was touched by it because Jesus said in the end times shall he find faith on the earth. Peter said perilous times are coming. Jesus reminded us that a man's foe shall be that of his own household. John said in 1 John, they went out from us because they were not of us. Because if they had been of us, they no doubt would still be with us. I read something this week that just I shared with Pam. I couldn't fathom it. When I first came to this church, the pastor mentioned John Piper. I'd never heard of John Piper. So I came across the book of John Piper's. Well, maybe Pam did through one of the bookstores. She saw it and said, "Hey, she ordered it." I read it. Man, good. Man, it was good. Good. John Piper loves the Lord. He's got four children. His first one is a boy named Abraham. I believe his second or third was another boy. And then he's called Barnabas. His wife's name is Noel. I came across something the other day about Abraham Piper. And this is what it said. At the age of 19, he renounced anything to do with Christianity. What? He got excommunicated from the church. 4 years later, he came back, only to stay maybe 3 or 4 months. And then he left for good. You're going to see a lot of that. I felt for John. I did. I wept. Let's go to the book of Colossians. We have on here Colossians chapter 3, which we'll get to in a minute. But when you get to Colossians, I want you to see chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. In Sunday school class, we talked about prayer. The Bible not only gives us through Jesus the Lord's Prayer, but Paul also shows us what's important, how we should pray. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 3. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. Praying always for you. He doesn't stop. This is why they do. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. Now these build on each other. One of the signs of a person who is a Christian is they have a love for other people. And it's a love this way. Oh, you know Jesus too? The old crowd's going to get rid of you. They don't want nothing to do with you. You don't fit anymore. Like the people in the book that I just read. This is what you want to see. But I'll tell you this. A person who claims they're a Christian and still loves the old crowd, there's something wrong. Think about it. I know what the Lord did in the life of Karen Goodman. I was just, the Bible talks about the depravity of man. You couldn't get any more depraved than me. I drank, and my daddy never drank. I didn't care about anybody but myself. Even when I got married, I was talking with Gerald this morning. You know, we're talking about prayer. After the time I spent in the ministry and somebody would come to me and, you know, I get problems in my marriage. You know, if it's a man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what's the matter with her. She, and the Lord never saw her. Or she might say the same thing. My question was always this: did you pray about it? Did you pray about this woman that you married? Did you pray about the man that you were going to marry? Well, no. Well, what did you expect? You left God out of it. Now you've made a mess of it. Verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints. Now notice, he's still praying. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, notice, and bringeth forth fruit. It should, if it's genuine. You're going to see fruit. If somebody says to you, they sell you a tree. What is it? Oh, it's an apple tree. Oh, man, I love apples. Okay, put it in, take care of it. You know, give it 4 or 5 years. How long you had that tree? 20 years. It's supposed to be an apple tree. What's the problem? There ain't an apple on it. I ain't seen one. Got a lot of Christians like that. Seven, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Say, somebody else says that. Oh yeah, I know that man. I'll tell you what, he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, now notice, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Point number one. What should I pray for my brothers and sisters? Pray that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what you ought to pray for. 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all reason. That's another thing that we ought to pray for. If you want to pray for Brother Ken, pray these things. This is what I want. I want to please the Lord in life. I laid in bed last night. Well, that's good because I don't normally stand anyway, but you know what I mean. I envisioned a casket up here. And I thought of the people in this church. And you know, if the Lord tarries, and you're still a member of this church, you'd probably be in that casket. What are they going to say about you? Well, I know. I know so-and-so. They were filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I mean, they love the Lord. I'll tell you that about them. I don't know too much else. I don't know what the past was like. But I'll tell you what. I know they love the Lord. Is that what we want? That's what we should be. That's our goal. That's what it should be. 10. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. All pleasing. Not some pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. Producing fruit. Being fruitful. See? This is not, oh yeah, maybe I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I did it years ago. You know, I read the Bible once. Really. The Bible's not a book that's made to be read once. You live in it. You live in it. I can faithfully say I have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 45 times. And I'm still learning. And I still love it. Look at verse 11. Well, let me finish the last part of verse 10. In increasing in the knowledge of God. You're growing in the Lord. Nobody ever graduates from the Bible. It's relevant to you. You're going to see things that Pam and I share it with each other every day. Do the Bible reading. I say, you know what? Can I share something with you? I never saw this before. Wow. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might. Now this would be stupid prayer on Paul's part if it wasn't possible. God's the one that can strengthen you. I don't care what you're going through. God will strengthen you. According to His, notice this, His glorious power. You and I don't have the power. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Number one, to let us know that we're His. Number two, to lead and guide and teach us. If you're a true Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit in you who wants you to get into this Word. You can't shut the door on that. If you can, I would question my salvation. Strengthened the Almighty according to His glorious power. Notice this, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then it goes on, who delivered us from the power of darkness, who hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Paul wants them to realize that, recognize this. Where do we get off? That I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I want, I can live, I can go wherever I want, kick my heels up. It's not an end. No, it's not. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Living for Jesus. And Paul puts it like this. If you then be risen with Christ, the way of saying, okay, you claim you're a Christian. Are you a Christian? If then you be risen with Christ, seek, active tense. In other words, keep on seeking what? Those things which are above. The world's chaotic today. We got all kinds of people coming into the United States. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about it. Pray for your grandchildren, your great grandchildren. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And he says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He puts Christ sitting on the right hand of God because Christ has completed what he came to this earth to do. And you're in him. If you're a Christian. Look at verse 2. Set. That's active tense too. In other words, keep on setting your affection, your focus on things above, not on things on the earth. I like to think about, like, heaven. I went to teach Pam one time, and I said, you know what? My wife has got good hearing. Say, I don't. And she's my ears. She said, we go somewhere and somebody says something, I look at her like that. You know, even when we order the restaurant, you know, it's automatic now. You'll have to bear with me, I just lost my chain of thought. But it doesn't matter. We need to set our focus on things above. That's where I need to keep it. Talking about heaven. Pam can hear dust as it drops. She's got good ears. She's got good ears for that. You know what I mean? And I told her, I said, you're going to be disappointed when we get to heaven. She said, why? Because there ain't going to be no dust there. The Bible says there'll be no decay. That's what dust is. It's not going to be there. Now, how many of you women might like, right now, would like this challenge? You're going to move into a place you haven't even seen yet. We've had Pam and I being in the ministry a couple of times, we've had that happen. The people have picked out a place for us to live. I think the last time was Lloyd and Jeanette. You know what? Perfect. But how many of you are comfortable that way? Well, I don't know. I could look at it. Well, guess what? Has Jesus checked in with you lately to ask you what you wanted? Said he's preparing a place for us. I guarantee this, you're going to like it. It's going to, wow. Why? Because he knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. set your affection, verse 2, on things above, not on things on the earth. And here's why. If you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, you're with Him. You're His own. Okay, so why are we still here? So that we can share Jesus with others in some way. I have a habit, and I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's the Lord. But we go into Walmart or something like that, and I'll see somebody, I've got to say something to them. I don't even know what I'm going to say yet until I go up to them. I just try to put a smile on their face and make their day. You realize people out there are hurting? We withdraw. I don't like crowds. You couldn't pay me enough money to go to Georgia National Fair. There's nothing there for me, you know? I'm too old to ride a Ferris wheel, you know what I mean? Merry-go-round, they look at me like, well, you know, what's the matter with this old boy? He doesn't hold my interest. And plus, you know what I mean? That's the way my wallet, my front pocket, because of my, you know? They like me. You know what I'm talking about. World's different out there than what you grew up in. You know that. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, now that should be true, pointing to the person who's a Christian, Jesus. Who is our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Verse 5 says, mortify means literally put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, for which sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's all of the world. You can see that today. Are you finding out, as you put television on, you're seeing some ads that you never saw? Your mother would have slapped you side the head if you were a kid watching some of the ads today. You just couldn't find them on TV. Now it's whatever. It's sad. It's kind of like what I just read. That's where they're at. They're going to outlaw the words mother and father. Mommy and Daddy. Not in this household. I'm sorry, not in heaven. Mortify therefore your members which you find in your earth. We need to do it. Let me talk about mortify for a minute. You do something. You say to yourself afterwards as a Christian, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Lord, time for prayer. Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Lord, keep my focus on You. Help me, Lord. Help me. Should I pray that? Sure. Because who's your strength? He is. He'll give you the strength. But He wants to know. He wants to see. How bad do you really hate this? I'll tell you what, there's a lot out there that claim Christ and are pretty comfortable dancing with the world. Something's wrong, I'm going to tell you right now. Now, I'm not expecting you to be, but you can get along with people, and you don't have to compromise. You can love people. That's the first thing. You cannot help it. The fruit of the Spirit, the first thing is love. You're going to have a love for people. And I agree with Brother Lewis. There's only one race, and that's the human race. You're going to have a love for people. And then verse 6 bears off of verse 5. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And the which, notice this, verse 7, is kind of a little reminder here. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Yep, when I look around the world, I think, yeah, I was just like that. Yep. I shared with you how it was. I lived for me. Me, myself, and I. I didn't care about nobody else. I didn't care about my wife, nor my four kids. I didn't care. But if I was around my mom and dad, I put the Christianese hat on. Hey, Dad, here's a good one here. Let me read to you from Proverbs. Man, this is good, I tell you, brother. I was lying. I was pretending. Verse 8, he comes right back around again. He says, but now you also put off all these. Notice, anger. Wrath. That's anger to wrath and malice. It's getting a hold, man. I'll tell you what. I'd like to run him right off the road. I remember when I was lost, I'd be mad at my neighbor and I'd drive by, hoping they'd look at me and wave so I could ignore them. Show them, you know what I mean? And some people that still carry that, yet they're trying to convince you, Christian. No. You got some things that you need to work on. Put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I remember working for Pfizer Chemical. Excuse me. Wrong company. I did work for Pfizer. I tell people the best thing that ever happened to me with Pfizer is they fired me. I was working for Dayball. They called me preacher. Start. But they came to me one day, three guys. And they said, we got a question. We've been arguing amongst ourselves. And I felt honored that they came to me. Because they wanted to know if a certain word was a swear word. And I said, well, let me show you something. I carried a Bible with me. Opened it up to this right here. Verse 8 of Colossians 3 says, let no, and put off these filthy communication out of your mouth. I said, yeah, I said that was filthy communication, what you're saying. And they accepted it. They said, okay, all right. See, God works whether you know it or not. Continuing. If you live for the Lord, people are going to notice it. They're going to see it. Verse 9 says, lie not one to another. And here's why. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, you're not what you used to be when you were lost. You're somebody new now. You're going to be growing every day. How does a child learn to walk? My great grandson, he just, I knew I'd find a way to bring him in. Then. Anyway, he's learned to walk. Man, he's got a look on his face like, can you believe it? Can you see what I'm doing? He's like this, you know, but he's ready to go. That's how we ought to be as Christians. Are you going to mess up? Sure you are. Is he going to forgive you if you're truly his? Yes, he will. He'll give you the strength. Lie not, verse 9, one to another, saying that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now notice this, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image that created him. I used the illustration one time when I preached on this, of your pajamas. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you can if you want. How many of you folks have suddenly gone shopping at Walmart and realized, I still got my jammies on? No. Same thing. We need to remind ourselves, you know what? I belong to him now. We say it humbly. I had a person ask me one time, you think you're going to heaven? I said, no, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven based on the Word of God. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. Don't ever forget them. Tells you can know K-N-O-W. You put on, verse 10, the new man, which is renewed knowledge into the Word every day, you're going to grow. You might think you're not growing. You're going to grow. You're going to grow. Verse 11 says, whether it's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Then verse 12 it says, put on therefore, notice this, as the elect of God, chosen of God. Now here's what you need to realize. If you have really been chosen of God, you have justification and sanctification. Sanctification is that where God is working in your life to make you more Christ-like. He's going to do it. But when you don't see that, something's wrong. We need to go back to first base. You know what baseball's like? You hit the ball, man, you knocked the cur out of the park. You ran around, but you didn't touch any of the bases. What's that make you? Out. You have to touch your bases. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You don't know what he did to me? No, I don't know. I don't need to know. But I know what. I know this. Lord says you've got to forgive him. Yeah, but I don't want him. Now you've got a problem. Now you've got a problem. What did Jesus say from the cross? They spit on him. They plucked out. Put the crown on him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Verse 14 says, above all these things, put on charity, love, which is a bond of perfectness. 15, and let, that's a choice, the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever you've got to say, whatever you're involved in as work in your daily life or whatever, do all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So you see what Paul has done here. If you be risen with Christ, there's going to be a difference. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. And if there's not, go ahead. I'll use a baby. I don't know what I weighed when I was born. I'm going to say, 7 pounds. Suppose now, sir, I don't know nothing about this now. Suppose I'm 16 months old. Oh boy, he's cute. He looks kind of skinny though, young man. What's he weigh? 7 pounds. 7 pounds? What do you think? Trip to the doctors or what? We can recognize that when it comes to the human body, but when it comes to spiritual things, oh, come on, back off now, come on. We're going to be held up to the Word. That's what counts. If you've been blessed by the Lord, I believe this. God has blessed you so that you can bless others. That's what I want to be. I want to be a blessing to other people. I said this and I'll say it again. What I hope to hear from my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren is, Pop, I love you, but I love Jesus Christ more. Yeah! It's not going to offend me a bit. That's what you want. Let's ask the Lord to use us.